Come on. Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome our guest, strong and powerful Robert Overbeck. Robert, are you ready to do this?
100%.
All right, let's go. Robert is the founder of the Adaptable Mindset Program. He's empowering people to develop their own adaptable mindsets and develop mental flexibility. Again, excited to have you on. Robert, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. Yeah, so this is Robert from the Adaptable Mindset Program. And yeah, we help people to develop, you guessed it, adaptability, a little bit of mental space as well. And you could say to live maybe some more inspired lives again. And a little bit about me. So what has always driven me is like doing new things, finding fresh perspectives, exploring things like virtual worlds, physical worlds. But also to empower people and to bring people on that journey. So you could say that my life has been, in a sense, defined by that. So I created art as well. So I have different roles in life. In my art career, I exhibited all over the world, even at the Centre Pompidou, which is like, you could say, yeah, one of the more famous museums in the world. And I was also allowed to help large companies, large organizations to transform, to become more digitally oriented, to become customer-centric, companies like Heineken and Vodafone. And I even founded a few companies myself, and some of these are still running, so that's pretty cool. So you could say that I always love change, right? Doing new things, trying to improve the world a bit. But I noticed that when working with these larger organizations, so these large corporates, but also you could say with the universities, worked with them as well, that something else was happening there. That first, that, you know, when you come up with a new idea, the change always first meets resistance. That's sort of what I started to notice, that there's little openness to new ideas, which is, in a sense, a natural thing. You know, your brain tries to protect you from change, as change can bring you into risk, right? That is what we get from our ancient ancestors. But the paradoxical thing there is, being open to change, being able to adapt, is like your recipe for a happy and meaningful life. So that's a pretty shitty situation if your brain is trying to protect you. But at the same time, it would be more beneficial to be open to it and be able to find fresh perspectives. So we found out that if you're not actively working on expanding your frame of mind, it turns out you're actively working on narrowing your frame of mind, just because when you get older, you know, you get less impulses, your social circle is smaller. And in after a while, people sort of lose their adaptability, their ability to evolve. And we saw that also mainly within these large organizations. And we found a few things which sort of, made it that was the situation, that there's just too much stress in the world, right? People experience too much stress. And that's one thing. And when your brain experiences stress, when it's severe stress, it can be 80% less efficient. So, yeah, good luck coming up with new perspectives, new ideas, and adapt in that way. We also saw that people at work lead these not so fulfilling lives, you know, quite meaningless. There's this recent data point from the US in America. There are people, 17% of people get meaning out of their work. That's horrendous, right? It's almost criminal. And then we have our social media. If you're not able to take a distance from it as well, you know, it can drag you into their algorithm and give you more of the same, more of what you already like. And then, it can narrow your mind. So there are all of these things that, sort of in our environment around us, which narrow our mind. And sort of I kept getting the idea that like we, what we call the developed countries, like the developed world, in the Western world, we think we are developed, but maybe we really are not. You know, how we take care of our mind, our consciousness, how we work with each other. It's in a deplorable state that we can't find these different perspectives, can't find this openness. And in my personal life, and with working with these large organizations, there were people saying to me, Rob, I wouldn't mind breaking my leg so I could be sitting at home for 3 months. It's like this kind of insanity, man. Or students came to me and they said, hey, what kind of education should I do? And well, if you're a bit informed and you know that most of the things that kids learn on school is already outdated when they leave school. So what you learn at school is to be compliant and learn things which are no longer relevant, you know, so you sort of lose your autonomy. So, yeah, we figured, wow, it's pretty much a shit show, you know, how we haven't developed the capabilities and the abilities to, you know, deal with stress, find meaning again, connect with our inspiration. And that's why we started the Adaptable Mindset Program, you know, to help people open up, find fresh perspectives, empower them, give them the tools to adapt. And we looked at sort of what has worked for the last couple of thousand of years. And we looked at how that now applies in this current day society. And what new things do we need to develop? And we found out, you know, everyone can get their innate adaptability back. Everyone can empower themselves again to think freely again. But it takes work. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It can, you know, you can get this epiphany after you see something. And that's where we are at now, that we've tried a lot of different things. We've worked with large institutions, innovative schools, and we had 2,000 people go through our online program. And I think our online program creates like this neural reset. We do group sessions and we help companies to create the right environment for change, openness to new things. It's for us, it's about empowering people and giving them the space and the tools to, I would say, be a bit more human again.
I think that that's great. And it certainly is a sad thing when you have 17% of people, that's it, that are really finding meaning in their work. You've got a lot of people who would prefer to be sitting in the hospital with a broken leg than to be doing whatever they were doing before that. And, you know, here in the United States, we've got millions of open jobs, but people just not interested in going and filling them. So I think it
so
is.
So much wasted potential, right? It's so unfortunate. It's so much unhappiness. I was like, in a sense, people are wasting, and not necessarily wasting their lives, but it comes close.
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah. Is this a, you know, we as human beings like to think that our struggles are new and horrible and unique, and they are all those things. But is this something that we've always struggled with?
Yeah, good question. I do think that like every era has its own challenges, and now we have a lot of challenges. I think, you know, with our media consumption is different. Also, the news, for example. When was the last time that the news gave you a positive thought? Hmm. It was like never.
Right.
Maybe a few journalists do like good investigative work, but like mainstream media is mainly negative. And then we have our social media. It can be harsh, I think. And like in the old days, you know, pre-internet, where you could just let your mind wander as well and be on your own, do we still have those moments? And I think these moments are very important, you know, to process the day, to process what you want. But that being said, you know, if you're a 13-year-old working in a factory in the industrial age, you know, that's not fun. Mm-hmm. And so we went through a lot of things already, and now we just have new challenges. And I think a lot of things that we have came maybe out of a good place, right? Like connecting people, making sure that people went to school. That is beautiful. But maybe we went a bit too far. But because maybe you want to take a different route in life, but no, you're forced to go to school. You're forced to sit in the benches and listen and be compliant. And yeah, maybe now it's a time to do things a bit differently. Same with work. And you see this, you know, the great resignation, you see it already happening and emerging. If you don't take care of your people, you'll have difficulty finding people. And you see also now decentralized autonomous organizations emerging, right? So there's all of these new movements emerging. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, I completely agree. It is a time when we are questioning everything, and then there's everything you just shared is all happening. I spend a good amount of time trying to figure out how to help people live successful, happy, contented lives in the modern world. And so I'm excited to learn more about this process that you've had thousands of people go through to get that neural reset, to create an environment for change, to give them the tools. Tell us a little bit more about this program.
Yeah. It has been an interesting journey, of course, and we're still building and developing this, right? So it will probably never be finished. Mm. We need everyone's opinions and thoughts on it as well. But we define it in, I think, like 6 building blocks, which are very important. You see that most people in life, they're sort of lost connection to what they find meaningful, lost connection to what inspires them. You know, who still does the things that you like doing as a kid, like drawing, going into nature, these sort of things. So one very important thing is to get inspired again, you know, to follow your curiosity. You are actually allowed to do that. You know? And we get messages from people who say, oh, the program gave me the feeling that I'm allowed to combine my creative side with my work side. And that's tragic, right? That it wasn't the case before. Mm-hmm. So connect more with that. Connect more with the things that have always driven humanity forward. For an example, for Elon Musk, he read the books from Asimov, which were science fiction. Yeah, some people would even call it pulp. But that gave him, planted the seed in his head that maybe we could get interplanetary space travel, right? And for everyone, it's something different. Someone else is drawing, music, and all of these things, they help you in getting connected again with your inspiration and imagination. And the second thing is to create mental space. That is something that a lot of people find difficult as well. You know, in a world that is constantly distracting us, how to deal with your phone, with your push messages, because you notice that when you interact often with technology, I notice, and a lot of people around me notice, that you get more shallow thoughts. Hmm. You're a little bit more anxiety, maybe. So turn everything off. No push messages. So you can live your own life. In the morning, try to get as much free space as you can get without technology. So you can have your own conscious thoughts and process the day a bit. These things are all important. At the same time, you can do physical things like yoga, meditation, forest walks, kickboxing, rock climbing, playing music again, all helps in creating space and in processing the day. And it creates cognitive flexibility as well. And then there are supportive habits as well that you can do. So the idea is to find what works for you. And then, in a sense, create like a system, a formula to support you in that. So to make it very concrete, that would be, for example, two times a week I do yoga, 2 times a week I go into nature, I hang out with friends 2 times a week, and 3 times a week I make sure I'm connected to what I find inspiring. So you build a system around you that supports you. And then another aspect that we find important as well is to have technological awareness. Be aware of what kind of stuff is happening in the world, because, you know, it could sidetrack you and overtake you in your work. What you're doing could be like no longer relevant, or you could use it to empower yourself. So these are a few things that we found that really help. And actually, it's a combination of all of these things. And you can start wherever you want, wherever you feel the most need, or wherever you feel that your curiosity just naturally pulls you, and start there. And start pulling on that thread and do more of that. Kind of like a madman, you know, that you're really obsessed with. Yeah, be less obsessed with your TikTok and your Facebook and your Instagram feed, because people always say, yeah, Robert, I don't have the time for that. And then I say, can you look at your screen time? You know, how many hours do you spend on what social platform? And of course, everyone has kids and everyone has a burnout. That's correct. But if you want to get out of it, you do need to, you know, either get moving, get out of the door, get into action, or get inspired again. These are, I think, the two basic principles to start with.
I think that's excellent. And that certainly resonates and makes a lot of sense to me. it strikes me that we in a sense need permission to do these things. Like you mentioned, the person was like, oh, I didn't even think that I could marry my creativity with my professional work. And then just need that nudge of like, hey, George, Rob, you guys need to be paying a little bit more closer attention, just like what you eat and how you're exercising, to your spirit and your headspace.
Yeah, you need to make it very concrete and simple. Curate your input. So less of the crap, more of the beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And start there. Or you could say Marie Kondo your life, but then you need to know Marie Kondo. But, I think that's the thing. But the pool of, our social, just try watching Netflix. And just try watching one episode. You keep watching it and then suddenly your entire evening is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're in Instagram Reels and your entire few hours are gone. So it's difficult. But the permission aspect that you mentioned is interesting. And I think it has to do with, how we're being brought up. Be compliant, listen at school. And that you have this idea that you learn for just one job. And it's also boxed off.
Mm-hmm.
What we can learn from, and we think you can learn from games, from philosophy, from nature. It doesn't really matter. Like the other day I saw this amazing video. I'm not a fan of Iron Maiden, but they had this amazing video with it. I was like, wow, that is someone's job. Like making weird ass slayer demons who cut off other people's heads. But if he likes doing that, it is possible. Or if you want to help people do breathwork sessions, or I see so many people doing amazing things. And the other day I read a quote from Jim Carrey, the famous actor, who said that his father, he took the safe route. He was very funny. Maybe he wanted to become like a comedian, but he took like this clerk job and this office job. And after a few years, he got fired. And they struggled to get by, and that was sort of always his mode, his default to struggle. Why not then just struggle in something that you love, something that you want to do? But then, of course, we have the fear of failure. But I also think, right, so the fear of failure often holds us back from doing what we really want. So that is also something that you can work on to be better able to deal with uncertainty and ambiguity. And that is also what we train. And the things that we all the things that we mentioned have that as a secondary effect, like strength training, for an example, or yoga creates cognitive flexibility. Strength training makes you less anxious because a strong body is a strong mind. So in a sense, it's very easy, just step back. All of the things I say are very logical. But we sort of lost a little bit, connection to what is logical in the world. And we think that what we're doing now is the right thing just because we've been doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so easy to be carried along sort of by the current. And
mm-hmm.
to your point, that's we're put into that current when we're little kids and go this way, show up at this time, be here for this long, say this, don't say that kind of a thing. Yeah. And if we don't ever sort of pick our head up and say, oh, wait a minute, I have a choice to do things differently, well, then we wouldn't, because our biology and society keeps us right there.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Robert, the people are ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Yeah, the difference-making tip is, you can always start. You can always start connecting again to your inspiration. And maybe today is a good moment to think of what that is and start doing more of that. And maybe today is also a good idea to start working on your cognitive flexibility, like work on your body, on your mind, and keep doing that and see, like, in a month or so how you're doing, because probably you're doing way better than you are now.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets, come on, Robert. Thank awesome. You so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they learn more about the Adaptable Mindset program?
Yeah, adaptablemindset.com. You can find everything there. A lot of free content as well. Content We've got a masterclass on how to filter the noise, how to create mental space, which is free. And we're now building content on how to reduce stress as well, and how to connect again to what you find meaningful. And there's this online program as well that you can follow. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff to find there.
Awesome. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Robert your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to adaptablemindset.com and check out other great resources. Take advantage of the free course that is on there about creating mental space and everything else. Thanks again, Robert.
Good stuff, man. Thanks.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.